Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Obedience of the Heart, The Inward Obedience of the Heart. And we're going to continue using our same diagram. And I'll just say right now, this may be wrapping up this particular class, this particular series with this class. I'm not sure, depending on how far we get or what else that the Lord would just have me share during this time. But we're going to go ahead and continue with our class where we left off. And in our previous classes, we had mentioned the Lord's glory filling the temple, the Lord's glory filling the earth, the increase of Christ in his house, in his land, in the earth, in the soul. And we brought it all to the point where we can, where is it? Here it is. Now begin with Joseph. And I really wanted to share along the lines of Joseph just because he is what I would call a perfect testimony of Jesus of Nazareth, a perfect testimony of the single seed. We'll see that in some of the verses that we read. But one of the things with Joseph is that he never left from his heart being turned unto the Lord. And one of the verses we'll probably look at is where he's tempted by Potiphar's wife. And one of his responses is, how can I do this thing and sin against God? And I know that that we have our particular definitions and terms, concepts in our mind for the term sin. And in all actuality, all sin is missing the mark, not hitting the goal. And the mark, the goal, is the way Paul defined it in Philippians 3. But I press towards the mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, anything less of that would be the heart turning from the Lord unto whatever. Turning from the face of God unto whatever. That's sin. Sin is separation. Now in Christ, there is no separation. The union is perfect and complete, the union that he brought about in his cross. But where is our understanding on that? What is our heart governed by? By what understanding? And see, that's the whole issue. That's the whole issue. And see, we can explain these things and we can share these things, and that's reality in Christ, the truth of Christ himself, the truth as it is in Christ. We can show it and diagram it and show it very clearly, but in truth, until the Lord appear in our heart and we continue in that appearing, it is the revelation of the indwelling Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, then we truly do not know. So it's just so important to go beyond just the lesson, beyond just the class, beyond just the words, to the Word himself. Amen? Okay. Well, I want to go ahead and just continue with that, with our class. And we're going to be reading several verses. And the first passage that I want us to look at is, let's see, Genesis chapter 37. And remember, we're looking at Joseph as being a type of Christ, a perfect type of Christ, perfect testimony of Christ, okay? As the single seed and the seed in increase, single seed in increase. Okay, this is Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto them. Okay. Here's the father. Here's the beloved son. The one the father loves. Loves more than anything else. He loves this one. He loves his son. There you go. The perfect love of the father to his son. That's seen in the reality with the Father, God the Father, in Christ and Jesus. The Father loves the Son eternally. Okay? Now, picking up still in Genesis 37, let's look at verses 13 through 14. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Okay, here we have it. I'm going to be using our diagram a whole lot during this class. The Father sends his Son. All right, I'm going to be quoting several verses from the New Testament. The Father sends the Son. He came, listen in John, he came unto his own received him not. We're going to look at that in these following verses. Verse 18 through 35. And when they saw him afar off, his own, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And this is exactly what the religious rulers, what the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, this is what they conspired to do against Jesus of Nazareth. They conspired to kill him. Okay, it goes on. Verse 19, And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, that it is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And when they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they bought, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, The child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and... Okay, verse 30 right there. I'll just hold it right there. With Jesus of Nazareth, he came unto his own received him not. His own conspired to slay him, and yet they used the Gentiles to slay him. Here, the family, the brothers of Joseph, conspire to slay him. And yet they do not slay him. They get the Gentiles, the Ishmaelites, the Gentiles to slay him. A perfect testimony of Christ. They don't want to do it themselves, lest the blood be on their hands. They try to get the Gentiles to do it, that the blood be on their hands. And yet they were the ones who ultimately did this. Okay. Verse 29 and, or actually, verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning, for his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. All right. The brethren, it's all in type and all in shadow of Christ. All right, the brethren, they conspire against him. They envied him. They conspired to slay him, yet they would not do it with their own hands. They get the Gentiles to do their dirty work, if you will. Okay? They take a kid of the goats. They kill a kid of the goats, put the blood on the garment of Joseph, and they show, listen, they kill a kid of the goats, they show the blood to the father. The father sees the blood, the father acknowledges the death of his son. It's all a perfect testimony of Christ. Right? Jesus is turned over to the Romans to be crucified by his own. He is slain on the tree. He's crucified dead on the tree. The father sees the blood. The father sees the death of his son. Acknowledges that death. Suffers that death in his heart. Okay? Then, right here, the very last verse of Genesis 37, verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt. Egypt is a perfect example of the burial. It's the abode of the dead, the dwelling of the dead. That's what Egypt is. Joseph, in type, dies. In type, goes into burial, the abode of the dead. Okay? We're going to keep on reading some more. That is the death, where Joseph is a perfect testimony of the death that Christ died. Okay? Now, we're going to look a little bit at the burial with Egypt. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39. We almost didn't catch those verses. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. Joseph brought down into Egypt. The death brought down into the grave. Okay? It's immediately following. All right. Another verse. This is verses 7 through 9. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, what if not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then, listen to his response. This is why I say Joseph is a perfect testimony of Christ. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? All right. Was it an issue of Joseph lying with Potiphar's wife? Or was it an issue of Joseph sinning against God? In Joseph's heart, the issue was the Lord. How can I do this and basically separate in my heart from the Lord? See, and that's why I say it's a perfect testimony of Christ. Because Jesus broke not covenant with his Father. Jesus remained face-to-face communion with his Father the entire time he walked on the earth. A beautiful fellowship, an unbroken fellowship. Okay? That's the picture that we see here with Joseph. With Joseph, it wasn't an issue of sinning or not sinning, or doing this or doing that. The issue was, will I separate with this relationship with God, yes or no? This is what Joseph counted as treasure. And in light of that, he counted everything else as dung, really. Okay? Joseph, I will say this also, Joseph could see the expectation that was being offered. He had one expectation in his heart, the Lord. And here, a different expectation is being offered, a false expectation. Something that he could see with a natural eye, something that he could understand with a natural brain. And yet he chose what could not be seen by the natural eye. He chose God. He chose the Lord, the God of his fathers. Okay? He endured everything by, if you will, by seeing him who is invisible. Now, it doesn't specifically say that in the scriptures, but his heart is set to the Lord. It's the same thing. When the heart, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there, when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And we all, whose hearts are turned to the Lord, are beholding the face of God, the glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, that was the issue with Joseph. He was one of fellowship, one of communion, one of relationship with God. Okay? Let's see, that was verses 7 through 9, okay, of chapter 39. We're going to pick up a little bit further, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 22. And Joseph's master took him and put, this is after the false accusation. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord, listen, Joseph's heart did not turn from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord remained with Joseph in everything that he did. In everything that he did. God was with Joseph. Why? Because Joseph was with God. His heart was turned to the Lord. Joseph was with God. Therefore, God was in everything Joseph did. Okay? Now, I will say this, lest we think all these different thoughts and be fearful. If you're born again, you've been brought into this relationship with the Lord, a perfect, eternal union of the Father and the Son. You've been brought into this relationship. God is with you, if you will. God is in you because Christ is in you. You've been birthed of the Spirit of Christ. You've been birthed of the Spirit. You've been born again, born from above, born from the beginning. Okay? God is with you. God is in you. But here's my question, and here's where it comes to light with these verses. But is God in what you are doing? He's only in what you are doing if your heart is turned unto the Lord to behold his face, to keep relationship. Well, forgive me, I can't say it that way. To keep partaking of the relationship you've been brought into. Because our relationship, the ones who are born again, our relationship is not based on us. It is based on Christ. Our security with God is not based on what we do or what we don't do. It is based on Christ the Son and what he hath done. And the Father is fully and completely satisfied with his Son. If we could only but see this, there would be such a rest in our soul that we don't have to try to toe the line. We don't have to try to get it all right. Our security is found in the person of Christ. He is secure in his relationship with the Father. Therefore, we can be secure because he is our security. Okay? That's the difference. The thing is are we partaking of this relationship? We've been made partakers. The moment we're born again, we're made partakers of this union. The question is, are we partaking of it? It's like being invited to a banquet. Okay? And everybody shows up at the table. And there's a spread of exotic foods and all good food, and yet we've been made to be partakers. We are there, but the question is, are we actually actively partaking? Okay, that's what I'm getting at as far as a believer. Okay, now going on with Joseph, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph because his heart continued turned to the Lord. The Lord was with Joseph in everything that he did, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Okay? So that's that passage. We're going to go ahead and look at that was Exodus 22 even to 23. Now let's look at that was Genesis. Now let's look at Genesis 41. All right, Genesis 41, verses 41 through 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Okay, this is after Joseph is brought out of the prison, still in Egypt. Joseph is brought out of the prison and is set before Pharaoh. Verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot of which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Okay. And I'll go ahead and read this next verse. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Okay, here is Joseph. He is now, if you will, ruler over all of Egypt. Ruler over all the grave. I want us to look at the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Because, as I said, it's a beautiful testimony of Christ. Here's the book of Revelation, chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 17. This is after the Apostle John hears the voice of the trumpet and is obedient under that voice because he turns to see the voice. Okay? Verse 17, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore, forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The testimony of that is with Joseph, who has the keys of hell and of death. That means that he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, as however he wants, of hell and death, the abode of the dead. That's Joseph, risen above all the land of Egypt, where he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. At his word, things are done. At his word, things are not done. He's a perfect testimony of Christ, who is triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Okay? I love that. I love that picture right there. It's beautiful. Because remember, at that point, Joseph is still in Egypt. He is still among the dead. Okay? All right. Now, where was it? 45. And Pharaoh, 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. Okay? And I took these notes that I have right here in this page from a class that I did several years ago called The Cross, a study in the death, burial, resurrection as seen in Old Testament types and shadows. This is class 15, page 125 of that class. And I want to just to look at the term Joseph, Strong's number 3130, and it means basically this adding, to add or augment, often adverbial, to continue to do a thing. That's the Strong's Hebrew lexicon. Henceforth, increase more and more. Okay, this is the name Joseph. Increase more and more. Okay? the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew lexicon, to add, increase, do again, increase. All right. Easton's Revised Bible Dictionary, remover or increaser. Here's Fawcett's Bible Dictionary for the term Joseph. Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, which means the food of life or of the living. Okay? This is Fawcett's Bible Dictionary for the term Zaphnath-Paneah. Egyptian title of Joseph, Ziphtanach, from Zaph, which means corn food. Corn food. And that was from Fawcett's Bible Dictionary for the term Zaphnath-Paneah. What I want to do is quote, I'll basically quote, this is John chapter 12, verse 20 through 33. Let's go ahead and turn there. I want us to see this. John chapter 12. Verses 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered and saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Okay, the hour is the cross. This is where the Son of Man is glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the world. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people thereof that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. This he signified what death he should die. This whole passage, who is that corn of wheat? Christ himself is declaring himself as the corn of wheat. We looked at it with the Fawcett's Bible Dictionary for the term Zaphnath-Paneah, corn food. Okay? There was another. Here's Easton's Revised Bible Dictionary for the term Joseph, remover or increase or increaser. Here's part of a statement from there. With the death of Joseph, the patriarchal age of the history of Israel came to a close. The end of one age situation, the beginning of another. This is what happened in the cross. The taking away the first to establish the second. It's just a beautiful picture that Joseph is of Christ, that which he hath wrought in the cross. Okay? And I do like to ask this question because Jesus stated, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay? First of all, we know Jesus is the single seed. We know is that he is this corn of wheat that he is speaking of. Question, did the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, yes or no? The answer is yes, he died. Based on that answer, then right here, it abideth alone. But if it die, which he did, it bringeth forth much fruit. Did Christ bring forth much fruit? Yes, he did. His resurrection, Him, Christ Himself in resurrection, is the much fruit, is the increase. Remember Joseph's name? Increaser. Increase. The terms that we looked at. To add, increase, augment, continue doing a thing, henceforth, increase, adding, increase. This is the name of Joseph. Increase, okay? All right. Let's continue on here. Joseph is that corn. And not only that, but where it said, the Fawcett's Bible Dictionary, the term Joseph, Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, which means the food of life or of the living. Remember, all the world. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. He was lifted up in the cross. He drew all unto himself. Listen, all the world, with Joseph, all the world came to Joseph. Both Greek, both Jew and Gentile. All the world came to Joseph. Remember, there was a great famine in all the world. Everyone had to come to Joseph for life. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. All came to Joseph. And we know that to come to Joseph means you come by way of the door. I haven't seen that in the testimony yet, where they come through the door. But nonetheless, all the world came to Joseph for life. If you're not born again, you must come to Christ for life. And it's not this thing of our heart beating or our breath breathing. No, no. This is temporal. This is something temporal. This everything that has to do with this body, hey, here today, gone tomorrow. It's of time. I'm talking about speaking of eternal life. Outside of time. In no relation to time. This is the life of Christ. Okay? Our souls were purposed for the indwelling Christ. The appearing of Christ in our soul. All right, let's go ahead and continue with our passages. So that's Joseph in Egypt. We saw Joseph, how he was sent of his father. His brethren envied him. His brethren conspired to kill him. They killed him by means of the Gentiles, right? Perfect picture of Christ. They killed the goat. They put the blood on the coat, they present the blood to the father. The father acknowledges the blood, mourns the death of his son. Jacob mourned and refused to be comforted. Mourns the death of his son, and then his son is now found in Egypt, the abode of the dead, in the grave. We looked at the passages right now of the burial. He is risen up as ruler over all of Egypt. He has the keys of both hell and the grave. He is both Lord of the living and the dead. All right, now we're going to continue on and just see Joseph in type in resurrection. Okay? This is Genesis chapter 15. It's a beautiful picture, testimony of Christ. And see, even with all these passages that we're looking at as the testimony, we can see, wow, I've never seen Jesus in that or Jesus in that manner. That's great. That's still not enough. That's still not enough. Except Christ be revealed in us as that testimony. Except Christ appear in our soul as that testimony, the light of life appear as that term in the scripture, as that testimony of the scripture, then we are not actively partaking of Christ in this manner. We are not actively governed by Christ in that manner. It's not enough just to see the testimony of Christ in the scriptures. That same one that we have seen in the scriptures must be revealed in us, because that's the end. The end isn't seen. Listen, the end is not seeing Christ appear in the scriptures. No. The end is seeing the Christ that is found in the Scriptures appear in our soul. Because if we are born again, that is where He is. It's the indwelling Christ. Okay? So the goal is never to learn these truths, these realities that are true, that declare reality. The goal is always the appearing of Christ. The goal is always that our hearts would turn unto the Lord and behold the face of Jesus Christ. It's very simple. It's very simple. Out from that beholding, we are automatically governed by that mind of Christ. We are automatically walking in the truth. We are automatically walking in the light. Everything out from His appearing is automatic. Okay? All right. Now, Joseph in resurrection. Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Burial. And yet he says, God will surely visit you, and you will take my bones up from hence. Shall carry up my bones from hence. Beautiful foreshadowing of the resurrection. Okay? Let's look. Let me circle this. All right. I want to look at a little strain of passages real quick that are very, very important. Genesis chapter 22. Now we do have the time to do it. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. This is the Lord speaking to Abraham, okay? That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. God declaring to Abraham concerning his seed in increase, multiplication. Okay? Genesis chapter 32. Verse 12. And thou saidst, I will surely... This is Jacob, the Lord. This is the Lord speaking to Jacob. Jacob speaking to the Lord. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Once again, increase of the seed. Of the seed. Remember, of the seed. Which seed? As Paul would say in Galatians, is Christ. All right? Another passage. This is Exodus chapter 1. I love this. Beautiful testimony of Christ. Exodus chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Okay? Still in Egypt, that generation that knew Joseph. And the children of Israel, listen to this, right here in the grave, right here in the ground, just like a single seed, when the farmer plants the seed in the ground. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. That's increase right there. Right there. Right there. That's where it's happening in the burial. You plant the seed into the ground, guess what? It's going to increase. Okay? Going on, verse 12. I'll just read here verse 8. Now there rose up a king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Increased. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they afflicted the seed, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The more they multiplied and grew. Increase. Increase. The terms are increase. This is Acts chapter 7, verse 17. And I know I'm going through several verses here, but they're so specific to this beautiful testimony of Christ in the Scripture. Okay? Acts chapter 7, verse 17. And I think this is Stephen giving his sermon to the Sanhedrin. Verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham concerning his seed, we read it in Genesis 22:17. The people grew and multiplied in Egypt. The seed grew and multiplied in Egypt. The seed grew and multiplied in the grave. Increased in the grave. Okay? Exodus. Now we're going back to the Old Testament. Exodus 12. Verse 37 through 41. And the children of Israel, where are we at? Okay. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. I'll pick up with verse 41. That's talking after they came out of Egypt. Verse 41, and it came to pass at the end. Okay, verse 40. Excuse me. Got to jot those down. Verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. The seed was in Egypt, in the grave, in the burial. 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went forth out from the land of Egypt. Right there. I want to make a point here. Okay? The Lord is preserving his testimony of his son in the Old Testament scriptures. He's preserving the testimony. It took 430 years for the Lord to have a testimony of his son in the burial. A testimony of the increase of his son. It took 400 years to get one testimony of his son. That's how perfect the Lord is with his testimony of Christ. Now, I will say this, we can see Christ more clearly in some verses than in others. But the whole scripture testifies of him. 400 years in Egypt to produce one testimony of the increase of Christ. We read the verses, increased, multiplied, grew more, grew exceedingly mighty, grew fruitful. All in the grave. Okay? Once again, Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. Continuing on with Joseph as now type of the resurrection. This is Exodus 13. Verse 19. And Moses, now we pick up the picture all over again. We pick up a greater unfolding of the testimony of Christ. Here are the children of Israel in Egypt, okay, in the abode of the dead, a continuation of the testimony, a greater unfolding of the testimony of Christ, okay? The Father sends one, Moses. He sends a deliverer, Moses, okay? We know that Moses came to the children of Israel in Egypt, the abode of the dead. There was the death of the Lamb. All Israel entered in through the door. All Egypt died the death of the Lamb. They died. When he died, all died. Okay? We know that that the children of Israel then went through the Red Sea, and all Egypt followed Israel into the Red Sea. We know, I mean, we definitely know it from seeing the movie. I remember the movie. The waters part. There we go. Moses and the children of Israel. And then all of a sudden, here comes Israel with their chariots and everything. And what does God do? Brings the seas, the waters of the sea back together. Israel, whom the Lord told Moses to say to Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Israel comes forth in resurrection. Egypt remains buried in the grave. Egypt does not come out. Death does not come out of the grave. The death of death. Okay? Genesis chapter 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Here they are, taking the bones of Joseph with them. All right? Next verse. Joshua 24. I love this testimony of Christ that's seen here with Joseph. Joshua 24. Verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. There they are, in the land. And what? Here are the bones of Joseph in the land. I'm going to read this passage real quick, this verse, and I'm going to just show the whole thing real quick in a nutshell, or I'll summarize it. Exodus chapter 19:4. Because I like to give the verse numbers. I like to give the verse numbers that when it's very important. We must see this in the scripture for ourselves. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. This is the Lord. And Moses speaking to the children of Israel. I'll just start with verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the Mount Sinai. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You saw what I did to the Egyptians in their death. You saw what I did to the Egyptians in the burial at the Red Sea, and how I brought you on eagle's wings. It's resurrection. It's something above. Unto myself. So here we go. With Joseph, the father sends his beloved son unto his own. His own receive him not, reject him. despise him, envy him, conspire to slay him. And in type they do, by the hands of the Gentiles. The blood of the goat upon the coat of Joseph. They present the blood to the father. The father acknowledges the blood, knows that his son is dead based upon the blood. The father mourns for the death of his son. The son goes into Egypt, the abode of the dead. Okay? Goes into Egypt, brings all the world unto himself. Both Jew and Gentile come to Joseph. Okay? While in Egypt, Joseph is made ruler over Egypt, having the keys of death and hell. Hell and the grave. He is triumphant over death, hell, the grave. Then, it takes 400 years, the seed multiplies, grows, is fruitful, increases. At the end of that time, the Lord brings forth his seed out from among the dead in resurrection. All Israel came forth because they brought the bones of Joseph with them. That was Joseph's oath, his command to them. You bring my bones with you, for God shall surely bring you up from hence. They took the bones of Joseph with them. So, in type, all Israel came forth after Joseph's resurrection. In a verse, in one of the Gospels, it says, and they came forth after the resurrection of Christ, after his resurrection, the saints of old. It said right after Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, it said there was a great thunder and all this stuff, and many saints were seen in the holy city, and they came forth after his resurrection. Beautiful testimony of Joseph here with his bones. All Israel coming forth out of the grave in his resurrection, in the resurrection of Christ. Okay, now they're in type in resurrection. Now what? The seed that is glorified, it's a glorified seed. I'll give you an example. If you have a apple seed, then as long as you have that apple seed in your hand, it remains an apple seed. But if you plant that apple seed, and under the right conditions, you plant it in the ground, guess what? It will increase. It will come forth a glorified apple seed. How is the apple seed glorified? It's glorified in increase. You do not get a huge apple out of the ground. You get an apple tree. The apple tree is the seed glorified. That's why I do the diagram as a tree. You know, you could say the tree of life, if you will. Nonetheless, it is the seed in increase, the seed glorified, the fruitful resurrection. It is the resurrection of Christ. Continuing on, as we read in Joshua, Israel takes possession of the land. Guess what? The bones of Joseph are in the land. That's why Peter says, being born of incorruptible seed. And yet, it is the incorruptible seed in increase, in fullness, the glorified seed. Because think about it, when a person's born again, Jesus of Nazareth doesn't come and dwell in your soul. No. It's the risen Christ, the glorified Christ, that comes and takes possession of the soul, that comes and takes possession of the land, that comes and takes possession of the earth, of the inheritance which was given unto him of his father. The promise was made to the seed to inherit the land. Christ in all his fullness indwells the soul. With our class that we have had, the obedience of the heart. Why is it so important? Simply this. God has nothing more to do. God has nothing more to accomplish. He hath done, he hath accomplished all in the person of his Son, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. The Father is completely satisfied with his Son. He hath nothing more to do. But see, we have these statements and these questions in our hearts. We say, God still needs to do this, so we pray for this. Or God still needs to do this other, so we pray for this other. The thing is, we are just, listen to me, please listen to me, we are just ignorant of His resurrection. That's what it is. We're ignorant of His resurrection. Because if we beheld, if we saw His resurrection, we would see, God needeth to do nothing. It is I who am to blame. I'm the one who must turn my heart to behold the resurrection of God, the increase of Christ, the glorified Christ, the risen Christ. I'm the one who must turn my heart to behold the truth, the reality of God, the eternal purpose of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is a beautiful testimony of Christ with the picture of Joseph. But listen, please listen. It means nothing to us if we do not behold this reality in the face of Christ Himself. If Christ is not revealed in our heart. Though Christ, in all His fullness, in all His increase, in all His fruitfulness, in all His abundance, dwells in our soul, if our hearts do not turn to behold this one that is present, then we are completely ignorant of the fullness, of the increase, of the fruitful one who is present. It is so important that we continue with our hearts turned unto the Lord. It's just so important. The Lord has His Son, perfect and complete. He has nothing more to add or take from. All the Spirit of the Lord now does is presents this perfect one, full and complete, unto our soul. Declares this perfect one that our hearts would turn and behold this perfect one. Perfect one. But when that, as Paul said it, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part my understanding is done away. It's a beautiful testimony of Christ. A beautiful testimony of Christ that Joseph is. I'll say this, we've had this class for several weeks, for several months, possibly a year. I don't know how far back the classes go. But it is just so important, the obedience of our heart, the inward obedience of our heart, to just simply turn and behold the face of Christ. Because, listen, everything is automatic out of this appearing. Everything is automatic out of this appearing. So may us yield to the Holy Spirit in doing what He does, that we be obedient to behold His risen Christ. Amen? Amen. Behold His risen Christ and be satisfied with the fatness of Christ. Amen. We'll go ahead and end for this class. The Lord bless you all. I've enjoyed the class. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. The Lord bless you all in our pursuit of knowing the risen Christ, in our pursuit of knowing the glorified Christ. The Lord bless you. And we'll see you in our next class. Amen.